All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. Today we have with us Bob Griswold. We're going to get a little bit of an intel update on the things that are happening around the world. Intel means something different for everybody, and I understand that. But what me and Bob are going to be going over is things that are going to be dramatically affecting your life, no matter what you do. So with the esprit de corps that myself and Bob are wearing today, obviously we're all tacked out. If you didn't know this, Bob and I have this running joke where we try to outdo each other whenever we come on. So if you see us in top hats and tuxedos soon, you'll know why. But we're always trying to outclass each other, and hopefully that'll catch on with other people. Bob, the world got crazier over the weekend.
Oh my gosh. It's just like it's swirling down. Quickly. I mean, yeah. Just on so many levels, you know, we're seeing an election that we just don't know what the outcome of it's going to be, especially, you know, I think the Democrats have pretty much conceded the House. They know they're going to lose, but I think you're going to see the real battle go for the Senate. The Senate gives them the ability to actually not only impeach Joe Biden, but to try him in the Senate and convict him. And so I think you're going to see a real fight for that, because I think even a first year grad student from law school could make the case that Joe Biden needs to be impeached, or at least Article 25. I mean, there's so many ways he can be done. And then, you know, to go on with things. I mean, you know, you want to have the House and the Senate. I mean, Jim Jordan, Rand Paul, Fauci, FBI, DOJ, all these things that they're talking about doing. You know, we are going to face some real internal dissent in this nation, no matter what happens. Come a few days from now, what, November? Just a few days. We're going to face internal dissent because half the nation thinks that, you know, the other half is the Antichrist. And, you know, they're preparing for that eventuality, that when the Republicans take over. I'm just watching the verbiage of what these people are saying. You know, we need to eradicate them, basically, type of verbiage. The same verbiage Hitler used concerning the Jews There are Democrats now, globalists, that are using that towards people like myself, Christians like yourself, that have not been used in American politics, at least since the 1860s. You know, we're not talking about just a conflict of ideas. We're talking about actually demonizing each other and calling for each other's death. I mean, it's so over the top right now that eventually it's going to go caustic. I mean, just what has happened over at the Pelosi residence is just an indication of it. But I mean, you know, you've raised people on hate for all their lives. You've told them, you know, just absolutely bizarre stories and theories about why people hate each other. This race is bad. That race is bad. This race hates each other. This race wants to kill you. You know, I want to say people group because that's a better phrase than race. This people group wants to kill you. That people group doesn't like you. And we're wondering why our nation is at an all-time, you know, high as far as violence is concerned. And the only thing that's keeping us civil right now, which is going to quickly disappear, is the fact that there's enough money, sort of, to keep people fed, keep them housed, and, you know, through the welfare system, through the food stamp system, all of that. You know, everybody has enough food in their belly. But once that ends, which we see coming to an end right now, we see, you know, the meat markets drying up, chicken, you know, bird flu out there just killing 40 million chickens, turkeys, you know, because of the drought and the lack of feed corn, cows, they're thinning their herds down. And then just natural disasters all over the planet, flooding or drought that have caused, you know, catastrophic loss of crops. Russia, I don't know if it's on or off. I heard it was off their wheat deal that they'd originally made to send wheat into Europe. That's problematic right now.
Well, they opened it up in the Black Sea, but Russia suspended their efforts in it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, somebody's going to be starving. And, you know, there was that wheat was supposed to go to, I think, Africa, but it's been redirected to Europe now.
Yep.
So it's just the world does not have the food to feed everybody. And there are people that are going to go hungry. There are people that are going to freeze to death. They're estimating 10,000 people in Europe will freeze to death this year because of absolute maniacal, you know, plans of these globalists, start wars, close off oil production, and somehow, you know, we're going to have enough solar energy or wind energy to do it. They don't address how you're going to move massive amounts of tankers. They don't address that, you know, at sea. They don't address how airplanes are going to fly.
Well, solar batteries don't power the mining equipment for the lithium mines.
No, of course not. And solar batteries don't charge themselves. You have to have, I'm going to loosen this up a bit. You have to have, you know, the assets, the coal, the nuclear energy, whatever it is, it's some type of fossil fuel or nuclear energy to charge those batteries. I mean, they don't charge themselves no more than a gas tank fills itself. I mean, this is the stupidity of people. I'm buying an electric car to save the planet. Well, if the batteries are self-filling or have perpetual energy, go for it. I would buy one too. But you have to charge those batteries. I mean, I saw this meme of a train hauling, you know, load after load after load of coal. And then under the meme was, you know, electric car fuel energy. And that's what it was saying. And that's exactly what it is. So, you know, we've entered this, you know, somebody called the dumb ages, not the dark ages, the dumb ages. And you know,
willfully ignorant, though, because we know how to destroy the economy and civilization, and we know how to keep it afloat and how to make us survive and thrive. Yet we're doing the complete opposite. But the elites aren't. The Fed just announced that they're willing to downgrade the United States currency in order to save the economy. How the hell does that save the economy? Pardon my French.
Well, everything they say is an oxymoron. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
They're estimating millions of job losses again.
Yeah, you know, I was kidding. You know, when Barack Obama was president, we had 57 states. Now we only have 54. That's what Joe Biden said the other day. I don't know if you saw that. So in just the last 2 years, we've lost three states.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. You know, I mean, that's the level of intelligence these people have. 57 states, and now we only have 54. So I don't know what three states we lost. I know we've gained a state, laundering state. Yeah, yeah. And that's the laundering state, 51st. But But as I just watch this, I know everybody's hopeful of this election. You know, all which consider conservative, Republican, Christian people are hopeful of this election. And you know, I have a limited amount of hope for it, but I'm always drawn back to that saying, I don't care who writes your laws, I care who prints your money. And we've seen that both political systems, Republicans and Democrats, are whore to that money. We've seen both political systems are willing to contribute. I mean, they're both of them are trying to outdo each other how much they give Ukraine. One of the most corrupt governments on the planet. You know, just keep pumping it in, pumping it in. So we see this world changing today right in front of our eyes, away from an American-dominated world to more of an Axis-allied-dominated world. We came out of World War II. I mean, we dominated the Pacific. We dominated Europe and pretty much South America. And, you know, we instead of using that to benefit people, we went in there and exploited a lot of those economies, exploited a lot of the people, a lot of the assets. And now that we have a challenger on our hands, the BRICS nations, China, Russia, all those nations, that their economies are doing better than ours is doing. I mean, for a Western economy, ours is doing well. And I want to address that just for a second. The only reason ours is doing well is because everybody else's is doing so badly. I mean, you know, which raft if the ship sinks, do I want to get on a raft that's slowly losing air, or do I want to get on a raft that has a big 2-inch hole in it? I mean, that's the choice right now most Americans are facing. The American economy is losing air slower than, you know, the English economy, the British economy right now. And so we're just the last bastion of what people are just trying to grab a hold of. But at the same time, we're seeing the precious metals, you know, gain in value. They're holding their value. And, you know, eventually, once this thing, people figure out the game that's going on, and big money starts moving assets away from America because it's no longer beneficial to them, the rest of it, all the regular people are going to be absolutely catastrophically shut down. No doubt about this is going to happen. It is going to happen.
Well, I think this is all obviously planned for the takedown of America, along with the corruption of our law enforcement, the corruption of our Department of Justice, the corruption of the DOD. Everything that was used to protect us is corrupt and is now being used against us. Let me enlighten some of you people. Now, I want you to go to Google and type in the search engine Fog Reveal. Have you ever heard of Fog Reveal?
No, I have not.
Fog Reveal, it allows government agencies and private security companies in the United States to have a cost-effective way of engaging in warrantless, that means without a warrant, surveillance of individuals, groups, and places that enables law enforcement to gather the fog data of your patterns of life through your searches of the internet.
Yeah, again, it that's one way it can do it. The other way is when through Amazon's social media, a lot of times they volunteer that information. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's no constitutional restriction upon a private company volunteering the information to the federal government. The federal government doesn't need a warrant in that circumstance to look at that information.
Well, this is pay for play. The maker of this tool, Fog Reveal, is Fog Data Science, and it's estimated that they have billions of data points on over 250 million United States mobile phone devices.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, I mean, just think about this. For everyone, I want you to consider, if you will, let's take a joint fare back into the history. And when people used to talk about how the NSA was monitoring you, the CIA, the FBI, the DEA, DOJ, DHS, your local police, your state police. They used to say they were monitoring you. Then they gathered all this intel through the NSA and it got pushed out to all the Joint Fusion Centers. Is that true? Somewhat. But I don't think anything has ever gone to the point that it is now. Like, we're beyond the necessary need for violating your Fourth Amendment. But do you have a Fourth Amendment right on the internet? No. You do not have a Fourth Amendment right on the internet. You don't have a Fourth Amendment right on your phone. Now, if you have, like, in your password section or anything like that, sure, you know, then supposedly a warrant is needed. But I'll tell you right now that law enforcement has the unique ability to gather all of your data without anything for that. And this is what bothers me, is why do we feel the need to do this at this point? Why have we gotten to the point where we need to create a, what was it called? I can't use the word, Bob, or we'll get taken down. These centers where they would send people eventually. These places where they would, you know, go in and capture you if you weren't aligned with the government like they did in the Gestapo, right?
Well, I mean, like the Japanese in World War II.
The same thing. Yeah, I mean, everybody's done it. You know, I mean, the Russians had the gulag. That's coming to America, if it's not here already.
You know, and let's address that real quick. You know, the government, through its welfare system, creates a gulag for the black community. I mean, that's what they've done. I mean, you just look at it.
And it's not just the black
community. People who are born into that environment have a very difficult time getting out of that environment.
And it's not just the black community. It's also the poor Hispanic community, the poor white community. Any community that is poor, that is geolocated in an area of high poverty and high crime, typically people don't get away from it.
No. So it's done deliberately. I actually had a black customer one time call me, this many years ago, and he was saying, Bob, you don't understand. He used the N-word. I'm not going to use it. But, you know, the government's made us all that. All of us are that in their eyes. And, you know, I couldn't disagree with them because, I mean, you know, it's the government's philosophy today. If it's sticking up, you hammer it. And so I think that's what we're seeing. But, you know, what we're talking about right now is just this internal conflict, and it's extensive. I mean, I'm just looking at my notes. You know, there was a quote that came about in Germany after the hyperinflation hit. You know, Doug, it hit almost immediately. Now, we're seeing gradual hyperinflation. I mean, you know, it's gone up to 8%, which they admit, but it's a lot higher than that. But the quote in Germany was, we didn't know what hyperinflation was last week. I mean, in COVID, well, I can't say that. You know, certain things have come upon the American people. We didn't know what 9/11 was until it happened. I mean, we didn't know what Pearl Harbor was until it happened. And it was dramatic and immediate. And when hyperinflation really shows its ugly head, where I'm talking about you have to spend your money in the morning before it hyperinflates in the evening, that's going to happen very quickly. And you're going to look at it and go, well, we didn't know this last week. Now we know it. And yeah. So going out and buying a dozen eggs for $10 in the morning when it cost you 15 in the evening, that's the type of hyperinflation that's coming to America. So all these internal things going on, and we see the absolute corruption of the ruling class of America. I mean, the debauchery they're involved in. Laura Logan was just taken off Newsmax because she revealed some things that are truthful. I mean, you know, these people do some very, very debauched things. And Epstein Island was just a fraction of what's going on. But, you know, so as we see this decay of American institutions of education, the news media, banking, food, medicine, you name it, this whole system is degrading. I am really concerned right now that, you know, even though they're not belting it out like they were a few weeks ago, but right now behind the scenes, we've just relocated nuclear bombers. We have, you know, our DEFCON level has gone up and down over the last couple of years, which it's not stable.
No.
The DOD, I've listened to several generals that are saying now that nuclear war is inevitable on both sides. Nuclear war is inevitable. It will happen. You know, and partially the reason we got out of Afghanistan was that we could free up those assets so that we don't want to fight third world, you know, land war anymore with that type of insurgency. We want the assets to be able to fight a first world war with China or Russia.
Agreed. Here's a fun fact for you, is that when nuclear war is finally declared, we will be the Iraqis and the Afghanis. We will be the Viet Cong. You better get used to wearing stuff like this. And you better get really, really used to wearing it and liking it. Because that's what we wore all the time, almost 24/7 when we were there. And, you know, you better get used to dirt in your face and dirt on your food. You better get used to dirty water, not bathing every day. Hey, man, none of us living has gone through nuclear war. None of us. No one knows how to act, react, let alone, could you imagine, let's just say, you know, you're looking south of where you live, and all of a sudden, Memphis is gone.
No, I mean, no, because if Memphis is gone, the prevailing winds are going to push it to Knoxville, you know, around where we live. And so if Memphis goes, whatever's due west of me is going to definitely start coming my way. And I need to know how to deal with it. That's, again, why I have several, I carry a radiation meter in my truck. I have one out in my house, you know, so I can.
Let's ponder the question. Nuclear bomb goes off out in Memphis, Knoxville, even, because that's real close to you now. How bad does the crime rate get? Does it turn immediately all hands on deck, all men for themselves?
Well, if a nuclear bomb goes off in Memphis, it's going to probably take out most of the power grid. You know, if the power grid goes down, yes, you have the zombie night of the zombies, you know, Dawn of the Dead. That's what you're going to have, because those inner cities are going to turn into absolute hell holes. You know, out in the country, more where we're at, you know, I think there's a lot of good people that can hammer that down a lot for the first few weeks of it. But eventually, you know, food delivery stops, whatever happens, and people start getting desperate. And this is why, again, I'm a community prepper. I believe in, you know, I need to support law enforcement. We need to support the churches in the area, the community organizations, so that when those type of people do show up, you can hammer them hard. And they do need it. You know, when you get the warlord want to show up, warlord wannabe, that guy needs to be hammered hard. I mean, really hard.
Yeah, there's no accepting. And here's the bad mindset, is that you remember in Washington State, hell, this is the time when we were doing operations in Portland, when they had the Summer of Love. Okay, imagine that in every single city across the United States the moment the power goes out. Oh, by the way, there is no love.
Yeah, no, there's no love, a lot of violence. You know, again, it goes back to profiling people. We have a nation that's profiled. If you profile it, we are saturated with violence. We're saturated with perversion. You know, Jordan Peterson, I love that quote. The average man today can look at more perversion online than Caligula could in his lifetime. You know, the Caligula, the despotic Roman ruler. Mm-hmm. And so when that rule of law breaks down, what do you think all these people are going to do? And, you know, the question was posed to me, do you think they're going to take up knitting? No. They're not. They're going to go out and act out what they've seen. And so when that breaks down, it's going to be, you know, if you don't have a group of friends, a community prep, a community of people, you know, where you work together that can keep that element out of your community, you're going to be overrun. You're not going to do it by yourself. This is something that's going to take all hands on deck of good people coming together to prevent this from happening. I mean, we see right now just a lot of assets being, you know, coming forward now to prevent, you know, to just try to stop this wave of perversion hitting our schools and hitting our organizations. You know, we see that through the Boys and Girls organizations, the Child Protective Services and public education. I mean, you just see the perversion. That's absolutely mind-boggling. So, you know, if you don't want that perversion to really start manifesting itself to where you have a warlord, that those people are going to have to be hammered down hard after a nuclear strike. You're going to have to take some very dramatic measures to make sure that doesn't happen in your community. The big cities, I don't think you can stop it. I think the ratio of crime to people who are in law enforcement's not going to show up. They've already been emasculated. I mean, they've already been defunded, emasculated. They have, like, you know, 15 lawyers for every cop just waiting to sue them. So, again, those cops are going to, they're going to put their finger in the wind and go, nah, not me. I'm not going to be the martyr here. And you know, that just, the enclaves that you have of civil society in these cities, which generally there's some enclaves of civil society, those are going to be quickly overrun. And all those liberal do-gooders who, you know, wanted to, you know, do whatever they need, they're going to find out the brutal truth of what is really out there. You know, again, you know, extreme independent. I'm just going to say it, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but, you know, you get very feminist minded women who I don't need a man. I don't need a man. Well, you let law and order break down and see how quickly, you know, without being armed or whatever, but just el mano to el female. You see how long that feminism lasts. It won't last at all.
Well, I know the counterculture of the left. They want to say that it's a woman's world. It's not. It's a man's world. Go to the countries. I'll prove it to you. There's not a woman's world.
I've been to all those
world.
Countries. There's no, I've been a, to them. Because yeah. they don't have the same Christian ethos we have.
They're second class citizens.
Well, not even that sometimes. Maybe third or fourth class citizens. You can trade a couple goats for a woman. I mean,
well, I know in Iraq that the donkeys at some point in time had a fairer life than the women did.
Yeah. So the paradigm that you've grown up in is not a historic paradigm that can be maintained without the fact of strong men enforcing law. I mean, that's what maintains it. And as we see that break down, we just see this absolute crime wave happening. So you let a nuclear war go off, or maybe two or three EMP bombs go off in the upper atmosphere, and it shuts down vast portions of the United States where your car, your radio, your cell phone, all those things don't work. And you're going to have bedlam. I mean, absolute zombified bedlam.
Well, I want to go a little further with this. You and I started a series many moons ago, the Getting Back Home series. And I want to talk about some things now, because I think we're getting to the point where it's serious enough to actually talk about this.
Yeah.
When prophecy hits the fan, folks, I highly recommend you stop smoking and you stop drinking. I recommend you stop doing it now. Now, for me, I smoke a cigar and a pipe every now and then, but I'm not addicted to tobacco. I'm not addicted to alcohol because I don't drink alcohol. But I'll tell you what I am addicted to is caffeine. The energy drinks, just because I can fall asleep running. But I've been detoxing myself for several days, at least a week or two now. And one of the things I would like to tell people is that when it hits the fan, one of the things you need to get used to doing is sleeping about this many times a night, 4 hours a day, because that's about all you're going to be alleviated to do. Now, I remember when we were on patrol in Iraq, you know, you were so dog tired, Bob, that when you sat down, you fell asleep.
Oh, I've been there.
It was probably hardest 5 or 10 minutes of sleep you ever got in your life.
And there was one time I got on a plane in Knoxville and flew east, and in 7 days, 5 countries, I came home east. I circumnavigated the globe. You don't even know what tired is. Yeah. I mean, you're brain fogged out. You just can't think. I mean, reality is like you fantasize about a bed. You just fantasize about getting horizontal, mm-hmm. laying down. And just, you know, your legs are aching because you haven't had chance to take the blood pressure off your legs. And it is miserable. I mean, I don't think I've experienced too many things like sleep deprivation that are more agonizing than that. I mean,
there was times where we were up for 2 or 3 days. But I remember I was a boot when this happened. This was 07 in Fallujah. And I remember some of my seniors, they had started to hallucinate because we'd been up for a few days. And they thought there was a green-eyed monster running around. Turned out to be a couple of Iraqi kids with green illumined flashlights. They almost got shot for it. But they actually ran into our FOB. But, you know, I mean, we had guys that... You gotta understand, though, like when it hits the fan, your home is your forward outpost base. That's it. That's your COP. That's your FOB. That's your base. That is where you're going to be doing your operations from. That's also going to be your survival shelter. That's going to be your freaking garden. That's going to be your farm. That's everything that is your kingdom. What we had to do our own vehicle maintenance. We had to resupply ourselves. We had to stand guard post. We had to stand post for ourselves. We had to have our own quick reaction force, our own internal patrol force, external patrol force. We had to cook for ourselves. Occasionally, if you got a shower, that was amazing. After 3 months, we got the ability to have showers. Like, when the generator went down, the whole base stopped. Everything stopped when the generator would go down, which was every day. And it was a tremendous amount of work. People would randomly, hey, working party, grab shovels, and here you go. You're just digging holes for stuff. You get so tired. And when you start to run out of supplies, like we did at one point, you don't have anything to fall back on. And, you know, Bob, you know this, once you get tired and then you get to another level of tired, you hallucinate, and then it takes like a week to recover. Well, yeah. If you have no one watching your back, that's a horrible state of mind to be in.
Yeah, and you had jet lag on top of it, and that even makes it worse. It's just sometimes jet lag really hits worse, not the first day you're there, but second, third day, jet lag can really be the worst. It catches up with you. Again, we're living in a very fragile society of fragile people that are dependent on so many things that they've grown accustomed to, you know, quick, cheap food, which has basically made people, you know, unhealthy, overweight, unhealthy. Mm-hmm. They don't work out. I was at a prepper conference this weekend, and, you know, I just want to be delicate, but I just looked at a lot of people and thinking, you know, I'm not talking about going and fighting, you know, in some kind of militia thing somewhere to keep the hordes away. I'm talking about just being able to carry firewood to your house. You know, could you stay awake? Can you carry firewood? Could you do the basic physical of activities? And a lot of the people there could not do those. You could just tell by their demeanor, they could not do those. Their physical presence and their demeanor, that even the most basic necessities of a society in stress, they could not meet the mustard there, and they would quickly succumb to it. And emotionally, definitely. I mean, you know, you get that utter despair of just what's going on, not even including if you've lost a loved one or something like that, where you don't even have time to mourn.
Well, you know, once the cortisol levels start to increase, everything within your mind starts to break down, and also inside your body, blood pressure and all that.
Yeah, Lieutenant Colonel Grossman talks about this a lot in his book on fighting. We have our caveman brain, and then we have the brain we normally operate in. You know, caveman brain is food, sex, you know, basic survival. And when people get into those modes, the higher brain functions cease. You no longer start thinking higher brain functions. Like, I don't think I'm not going to be quoting Shakespeare to myself. You know, I'm going to be in primal mode. And it changes the whole dynamic of the way people react to situations. And violence is very, very common in those situations. And I think we're going to see a lot of that. And you know, the civility that we have been told over and over again, there's no place for violence in a society. And in a modern society, in a civil society, there's not. There's not any place for violence. But the left has already, you know, given the way. I mean, I just can't believe they're having such a cow over what happened to Paul Pelosi. And I didn't want to see this guy hit. He's an older man. I mean, you know, they're terrible what happened to him. But where were they when Rand Paul and his wife were being assaulted? They were cheering. You know, where were they when that one guy went into that Republican baseball game and shot those Republicans?
I remember when Jim Carrey made a painting and then auctioned it off about throwing Barron Trump's youngest son into a wood chipper, and everybody laughed. Everybody shared it. Everybody loved it.
Yeah, you know, hold the head up. Remember, hold Donald Trump's head up. Yeah. What was her name?
Kathy Griffin.
Yeah. Hold the head up with the blood dripping off of it. Snoop Dogg, I think, made the one where he was showing he was shooting the president in the head. Mm-hmm. And then they have the nerve. I mean, you set the precedent for this. I don't know what this guy's motivation is. I don't believe the news media. I don't know what the precedent is. I'm going to leave that for, you know, history to point that picture. But the fact is that they've promoted violence after violence after violence over and over again. And now they're stunned when it comes home to roost. Well, join the club. You've promoted it for a long time against a lot of people. We need to round up and exterminate Christians. Senator, what's his name from Ohio?
Here's my prediction with this, Bob. the George Floyd riots, the Black Lives Matter Antifa riots, all that was fun and games. All that was orchestrated by college kids and a couple, you know, adults who were on George Soros's payroll and the Democratic payroll. And we in the government at one point had the testicular fortitude to actually prove that and go after it. But I guess we lost that. But you push the conservative group of people too far, there won't be riots.
Well, it's true with any animal. You back an animal in a corner and give them no option of escape. And this is, again, on the bigger scale right now, what I feel like we're doing to Putin, you know, pushing him in a corner, deliberately trying to provoke him. But you do it to anybody, whether it's a nation like Russia or you do it to an individual. And sooner or later, that person's going to strike out at you and fight back. Self-preservation is going to dictate it. And I would say right now, you know, they are pushing the conservative, the, you know, that element, Christian, that element, pushing and pushing and pushing while committing gross acts of violence against them. They're also preaching that you can't commit acts of violence back. And sooner or later, that whole thought train is going to break down and, you know, self-preservation is going to kick in. You're going to go from higher brain functions to caveman brain functions. And somebody's going to say, I've had enough of this. Well, I'm not the bad guy you're pretending me to be.
And these are the same people who are creating the diesel shortage that we'll be hitting within days. Days. Yeah. These are the same people who started the global recession, who are going to be the reason why you may not be able to get beef next year.
Next year is going to be worse than this year, for sure.
Yeah, your crops may not be there next year. You know, your medicines may not be there next year. You're going to have failing power grids. You're going to have more riots. You're going to have food riots. You might even have food rationing cards. You have people that are completely satanic, utterly satanic, pedophilic, within your schools, who are messing with your kids while you're at work. You know, grinding the gears for the lifeblood of America to keep going. Your kids are being messed with. Eventually, you piss this group of people off enough, and you're going to get the reaction that you knew was going to happen. And this is my warning. It's twofold. It's a double edge. If you play the game's going to play you. Just as Jesus said, you know, by drawing the sword, you are going to end up dying by the sword. So if you end up wanting the retribution against this corrupt, evil government and taking it upon yourself, you're going to get caught up in that game. However, what I think people are grossly underestimating is the anger of America. We have seen the anger of America twice, once with the Revolution and then with the Civil War.
And Dave, if there's massive election fraud in this election, that anger is going to boil over this time. I mean, the conservative movement took it in 2020 in the light of massive fraud. And I'll admit voter fraud, just like Hillary Clinton does and Stacey Abrams does. But I guess, you know, the Democrats have a very filter for it, but Republicans, when they say it, they weren't allowed to.
Yeah, it's not fair because, you know, we're actually right.
Yeah, but, you know, it could push us over. And again, I want to put this all under the umbrella of basically fighting World War III. I mean, it's not just Russia. It's Iran. Mm-hmm. It's China. I mean, we see this happening. You know, again, I told you, we've rushed to get the new B-21 in the field. I mean, it was one of the quickest projects, putting a new bomber with high stealth capabilities in the field under budget that the Pentagon's done. I mean, it's amazing what they've done with that plane to get it in the field. They know they have to, which tells you they could do it pretty much with anything, but there's so much graft and, you know, stuff going on, but they know they need to get that in the field. This B-21 high level 70,000 feet strategic bomber. We've seen the 101st deployed into, you know, Western Russia. I mean, not into Western Russia. I'm sure we're doing probing efforts into Russia, testing the you know, different things about that. But that's my conjecture. Any good warfighter would do that. But, you know, we are deploying troops right on the border, just like Hitler did. you know, in 1940s. I mean, Operation Barbarossa. You know, we are arming Europe at an alarming rate right now. We're actually moving more nuclear weapons into Europe. It's just a scary time. The other day, all the transponders on military planes were turned off. I mean, that probably sent a absolutely huge shiver up the Russian spine, because when that goes dark like that, they don't know what's going on. They have to presume to take a defense posture that happened, that we're under attack. I mean, that anybody with half his brain would have to figure out that they've gone dark because they're in attack mode. Some claim we're already at war with Russia, and I say we are. We've put 1,155,000 rounds over there, the Javelin missiles, the surface-to-air missiles, the anti-aircraft missiles. We're giving reconnaissance technology, all kinds of signals intel.
Let me ask you something. Last time I was on with Dave for the intel report, I had brought up hybrid warfare, and I think you and I have talked about hybrid warfare before, but you know, going beyond just conventional three block, fourth block warfare, you know, you have the hybrid warfare, which is also using the cyber warfare. You know, we know that the bear has nuclear claws, and we know that when the bear strikes, mutually assured destruction follows, right? But yeah, there's other levels, like the Stuxnet virus that we sent to Iran to mess up their nuclear fusion centers. I remember years ago hearing about the stories of how good the Russian hackers were. I mean, like, they're good.
Well, they re-engineered it and sent it back out.
Yeah. Yeah, the Iranians did that. Yeah. But yeah, the Russian hackers, from what I remember being told, are on another level, like beyond us, beyond what the United States could do. And also probably one of the other leading, maybe even better, hackers, like piratous hacking groups that are out there, is North Korea. And the North Koreans are damn good at hacking.
They're good at printing our money. Yep. The Chinese are good at printing our money. I've been to China. I'm telling you what, if you bring a $100 bill on an American in China and try to exchange it, that $100 bill is examined, scrutinized. If there's any defect to it at all, they won't take it. I mean, because that's how much fraud there is. And even their own money, there's a lot of fraud in their own economy of people printing money. That the technology is that good over there to do it. Again, another reason to go to the Great Reset, all digital currency. Which I think all this is leading towards, the Great Reset, the Great for what it is. But just ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to consider this. I mean, these are two guys. We've been around the world a little bit. I mean, we're not experts as far as high level, you know, people. We've seen things. We're smart enough to understand how to put it all together. We understand that intelligence does paint a picture. And if you put that intelligence together, it paints usually a pretty accurate picture. And that's what we're just trying to say right now. I think, you know, in the near future, you might have anti-hoarding laws so that you can't buy extra food at that time. Now, if you've done it now, that's not hoarding if you're doing it now.
I think that's going to be coming sooner than later with fuel. Yes. Chevron, I think one of their chief executives just came out today and said, this winter is going to be tight. We're going to have fuel restrictions. That's not good, because then who is allowed to get the fuel?
Well, again, you go to a digital currency, and then, you know, you have a social credit score on that. Well, that's going to be very simple. Who gets fuel and who doesn't get fuel, and where you can buy fuel. You know, you can't buy it more than 20 miles from your house. That restricts your travel. So a lot of things are coming down the pike. The world is changing. The paradigm shift at World War I, when modern artillery was entered the battlefield and armor was entered the battle, the world was not ready to fight that battle. And gosh, the injuries were catastrophic. They were just horrible injuries the world had never seen before. You know, mustard gas, all those things that have been put into the battlefield. Well, the paradigm of war is changing right now before our eyes. The paradigm of power is changing right before our eyes. And I don't know if it can be stopped. I don't think it can. I mean, I could be wrong, but I do believe we're in that biblical end of the age where we're seeing Bible prophecy fulfilled. I know we're seeing Bible prophecy fulfilled. How close it is to the end, I think it's close, but I could be wrong.
Well, you know, what I see whenever we start talking about the prophecy hits the fan scenario, especially if we lose the ability to have power and fuel, the rolling blackouts, just imagine
we're
when
over.
They,
it's over.
Yeah. You know what? You know what will happen? Forrest will be felled.
Yeah.
Forrest will be felled.
Yeah. I mean, just being at a heat, I mean, you see that right now in Europe. They're cutting down ancient trees, ancient forest in Europe right now, just so they have firewood.
If I'm correct, wasn't that like a preserve that they had like sanctioned off?
Yep. And they're cutting it down for firewood. I mean, that's medievalism. I mean, this is where they've taken us back to medievalism. And so, I mean, they had the capability of doing it. They're taking down a wind farm right now so they can make a coal mine there, a coal factory. I mean, you know, so it's really
how close are we to barter and trade? And let's talk about barter and trade for a little bit.
Well, unfortunately, it's already happening. You know, the sad fact is, according to statistics, 2 million young people, children in this country, barter their bodies every day for trade. I mean, you know, that's a reality of what's going on. And we see articles now that women, even professional women, are realizing they can close their income gap by doing, I'm not going to give the websites out, but they'll undress for you on the website and do all kinds of stuff like that, you know, where you can, you know, they'll make the extra money to do that. And so, you know, that's a form of barter. It is. I mean, it's one of the oldest form of barters there are. You know, going all the way back to the Bible, there's cases where, you know, you sleep with me tonight, and I'll give you my goat, you know, that type of thing. And that happened. So that we're already seeing. And it's just going to get worse where people become more and more desperate to whatever they have to barter with. And I think we're going to see that grow. But the statement, Germany, we did not know what hyperinflation was last week. I think that there's coming a time when that is going to really come out. And I've read some, you know, I've read one. It was a fairly good dystopian novel of a family that didn't prepare and they had to sell off their daughters and had the pain of all that just to feed themselves. You know, you put your daughter into trafficking. We'll take care of her. We'll feed her. You know, she'll be used, but she'll be alive. And that's a tough. I mean, just think of that. My daughter's going to starve to death, or I'm going to put her into trafficking where they promised to at least feed her and keep her alive because she's making us money. What a moral dilemma that would be. And that's, I mean, that was, I had that happen to me. And not to me, but I was over there and I was presented with that circumstance where somebody offered to sell me a child, you know, and that's the desperation. So, you know, with that said, you know, I think the bartering economy has already started and it's just going to get worse.
You know, we used to make fun of it whenever it would happen. I never really thought of it like that. But, you know, when we were in Iraq, I remember the Iraqis would be like, "Mister, give me baby," and, you know, for money, right? Like, here's give me money, I'll give you baby. And we used to always be like, "Go away from me," you know.
Yeah.
Tell them MC run away or whatever. And we used to laugh at it. We were teenagers, you know, 18, 19, 20 year olds. But, you know, thinking about it now as a dad soon to be with five kids, absolutely not. I'll give you brass before I give you flesh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been all over the world in places where, I mean, they come up to you and it's just like, you know, whatever you want here, give me this and you get that, you know, two, three, whatever you want. Well, just it's. So that bartering economy has already begun.
The world lives in a desperate state, though, and America's never been there. Not within the last
not since 18
years.
Yeah, not since 1860. I mean, even World War I, World War II, we were spared from the destruction because the even though we sent a lot of men over there that came back horribly disfigured and shell shocked and all those other things, it didn't hit our cities. Our cities weren't burnt down and blown up, and our women and children weren't, you know, starved and burnt and all the other things that, you know, Europe experienced.
Read the book Savage Continent if you want history on that.
Yeah, I've read it many times. I've given it to many people. And, you know, so I would just say this, you know, I'm a big comms guy. I continually improve my communication capabilities. You know, I want people to go look up something online. We just became a dealer. Excuse me. We just became a dealer for what's called it's a TBR, Tango Bravo Romeo Dash 119 radio. And I mean, that thing is absolutely incredible. You can find it on our website. That radio right there, that one radio, if one community had that radio, could make the difference between that community surviving and not surviving. It's a military grade radio. I mean, it does everything. And so I prepare also, you know, again, I've mentioned this before, this bivy stick, you know, just with satellite communication, Hurricane Ian, all that happened. I can use an advantage of satellites and text my family that I'm okay. Here I am. Here's my location. We're making home. Where do we meet? All the things that we would want in a crisis, I can do with this simple device. And, you know, we have these at rmrbivy.com. I just cannot stress the need to set up a good communication system right now between people. I want to get you set up with some HF gear so that, you know, I can talk to you down there in Texas and, you know, we can exchange intel. What's going on there? What's going on here? All those capabilities are available without a network system, meaning I don't have to have a cell phone. This thing can go down. And when it goes down, you know, America's going to go through withdrawal. This is like, you know, electronic cocaine for most people, electronic meth. They don't have this thing and they go through withdrawals.
Yeah, you can't take your 20 selfies a day and post them on Twitter or whatever.
No, and have people tell you what, you know, oh, wow, look at your, I mean, I've seen some. It's like, oh, my gosh, how can you tell that person's, you know, you're good looking? It's like, oh, wow, you know, what, you go to the Democratic Party and lying, you know? But it, again, is what it is. It's that. And infrastructure, I can promise you, Antifa, BLM, you know, they maybe Middle Eastern terrorist, you know, white supremacist terrorist, black supremacist terrorist, you name the terrorist group in the United States, they know where the cell phone towers are at. They know how to take them down. You know, they do. They know where they're at. And that would be very quick infrastructure to be taken down is the ability to use this thing to say, honey, where are you at? You know, let's make a plan. You can't do it. This is down. This is useless. Maybe if you got pictures on it, you can look at them or you can still play maybe your video games. I don't know. But as far as communication device, throw it out the window. It's down. This, on the other hand, they're not going to be able to take the satellites down. Now, a nation state could take a satellite down, but, you know, little terrorist groups aren't going to be able to do that. So, you know, being able to have a good communication plan is absolutely essential. And you really need to get that set up right now. Absolutely critical. And that's why, you know, I'm willing to work with people. You don't necessarily have to buy from me. I appreciate when you do. When you buy from me, you keep us on the air, you know, people like myself, and we support Doug, and, you know, that keeps him on the air. And so when you do that, it directly benefits you. But, you know, well, I'm willing to talk with you and help you set up a communication plan that will benefit your family all the way from very small. I mean, you know, you got little handheld radios like this. This is a UHF, VHF radio. Made by Elinco. We have Bofangs, all kinds of brands of them. The little Bofangs you've seen before. There's got one over here.
I got a question for you. People have issue that a lot of this stuff is made in China. Is there issue with that?
Well, let me ask you a question. I like to eat organic food, okay? I think it's healthy for me to eat organic, whatever. I haven't eaten a McDonald's hamburger in, gosh, decades. Decades and decades. I haven't drinking a Coca-Cola in decades.
Good for you.
Okay. But if I'm hungry, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I don't want to eat McDonald's. No, I'm going to grab that McDonald's hamburger and scarf it down as quick as I can so somebody doesn't grab it for me. And, you know, I'm going to pick the crumbs up off the ground. So, yeah, Bofangs, I mean, that McDonald's food, you know, is compromised and it's not the healthiest stuff to eat. But so even with Bofang, it might not be the best stuff and it might have backdoors in it and whatever. I don't know. There's been a lot of people that have looked at them, dissected them, done all kinds of things with them. And to my knowledge, it's not there. The one I would worry about most is the person who's gone to, like, maybe one of Matt's courses, you know, and taken a RTO course or, you know, taken it to these courses and learns how to do things. I would fear the guy local far more than I would fear the Chinese people, what they could do with the radio. But I don't. The TBR is a backpack radio. The TBR 119. I've got 10 of them on the way to me. I think we sold one or two of them. They will go quick, but again, just look it up. And you know, if you want a radio that'll serve an entire community, that's it. You know, food. I mean, you can get your food anywhere. You know, I've been talking to Mike Adams. Mike Adams, if you want organic food, Mike Adams has the food. It's there. You know, so.
And I stick to Peak Refuel for all that.
Yeah. Peak Refuel, we sell it. It's great. You know, so you can get it from us. But the thing is, I think we keep presenting this evidence of just absolutely the paradigm change that's coming. And it's not going to be a small one. It's going to be a huge one. And, you know, the same paradigm shift that happened when they went away from gas lights to electric lights. I mean, that just the whole infrastructure of the country changed.
Well, I challenge anyone who says that, you know, we're in the same stance as we were in the 70s and 80s. And this is just the swinging of the pendulum and of the times, and it'll correct itself and everything will be okay. The stock market will be okay. Everything will be fine. Bob, we're selling fear and goods. And, you know,
how's it going to correct itself? Explain to me the mechanism by which it corrects itself. Power loves power.
Well,
despots, when they have power, they always want more. And the electronic environment they've created gives them the ultimate ability to absorb power. When they implement a digital currency, explain to me how that's going to go well.
4 to 5 months ago, I was still receiving a few emails from people here and there who were arguing with me that we were doom porn fearers, that we're just trying to make money. And I'm like, well, if I wanted to make money, I'm in the wrong business. But you know, that they're just saying that we're trying to hyperinflate the emotions of people, so that we could capitalize on the gains for, you know, selling goods. And I get that, and I think there are schemes like that, and I think there are shows like that that will spin you into the other direction in order to sell goods. And I think one of them is called Fox News and CNN. But on the other hand, like, how does it benefit us to have our neighbors not prepared? How does it benefit us to not have medical training? How does it benefit us not to know how to use your freaking guns at all, you guys? And no offense to everybody, but some of you guys out there who have, you know, $80,000 worth of guns in your safe and you shoot them once a decade. How does that benefit anybody? You know, we're talking about being preppers. We're talking about being prepared. We're not living in a cave or in a bunker. You're going to have to be above ground. You're going to have to be mingling with people. You're going to have to speak with people. And you're going to have to deal with the consequences of life. How does it not help to not be prepared? But yet, you know, Bob, people say, oh, you know, well, things will just go back to normal.
Atlas Shelters right now is selling bunkers all over the world, and at a really pretty much what you consider an alarming rate.
And they said that they are months behind.
Yeah, months. So, I mean, the elite are buying all those bunkers. They're sending bunkers over to Ukraine. Wealthy doctors, lawyers are buying bunkers. Now, you might not be able to afford a bunker, but you can learn. You can have a radiation meter. You can have, you know, learn how to deal with radiation should it come your way, how to avoid it, how to get away from it, how to protect yourself from it. Those are things that you can do. Most people, when a nuclear weapon goes off, you know, they're going to survive the immediate blast. Now, those that are hit by it are definitely going to die. But, you know, a lot of people that were in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I mean, they were killed by the aftermath of the bomb, the radiation falling and all that. And they were, you know, they had to survive that. We know so much more today how to do that, and we can learn. There's things you can learn. You can learn how to use a radio. I'm telling you, a radio will be more valuable than a gun in a lot of ways. Just being able to calm with people. And that's what I've really devoted a lot of my, I guess you can say, prepper experience to is really teaching radio to people. And I'm glad to help people do that. And so depending on your budget, I can show you small to big what you can do with radio. And you know, if the zombies are out eating people, there's things you can do with radio that aren't legal right now. But if my life's in danger, I'm going to do whatever it takes to survive.
Yeah.
You know, I was asking questions like that to people that were coming up to my booth this weekend at the Knoxville Prepper Conference. And I was asking, what's the first thing you give away when you start talking? And, you know, they all of them had different answers. Not one of them guessed the right answer. You give away your sex. I know if you're a man or a woman. And believe me, if you're a woman in a crisis situation where the rule of law breaks down, do you want to get on there and sound like little Janie, you know? No, there's ways around that. I mean, on my phone, I have a text-to-speech program. I've showed that to you. Mm-hmm. So I can actually type in what I want to say and then play it in an androgynous voice. You know, don't give away my sex. I mean, you obviously start giving away your location and all kinds of other intel, but a woman does not want to give her sex away in a crisis situation. They don't want, because you can direction find those radios fairly quickly, and you don't want to be zeroed in on, because in that situation, you might be just become a baseball card. I don't mean to be brutal. I don't, but it's the fact. Well, you're just traded. It goes on all around the world. It happens all around the world. It happens in the United States. Tonight, a lot of women will be traded around, brutalized, traded. Ask Craig Sawyer, Sawman, and he'll tell you it's true. Be prepared for it. And having that communication plan, having a plan to be able to operate at night, to me is one of the most essential things that you can have, that you can do. Also, I know you're teaching courses. We're waiting to see what happens with the course coming up in a few days. It doesn't appear that we're going to have enough people to host the class. We might have to postpone it to the beginning of the year. But anybody who hears this and has signed up for it, you know, if you don't want to wait, you can get a refund. Or you can, you know, we're going to probably be doing it sometime in January, and you can wait till then. But, you know, it's just, I know people are just tapped out right now in a lot of ways. And, you know, they have holidays coming up. But the training is without a doubt one of the most important elements you can put into your preps. And yet most people would rather buy gear upon gear upon gear rather than get prepped. Prep takes effort. I mean, training takes effort. You know, yeah, it takes effort to go to a class. And if it's cold out or raining, to get cold and rainy, or if it's hot, to sweat, it that takes effort. But that's real world stuff. Man, I got to get in shape. You know, I didn't realize this, you know, running gunning stuff was as hard as it is. I gotta get the spare tire off my waist. You know, all of a sudden you start realizing things. Man, my AR-15 with 700 attachments to it weighs a lot of money. I mean, wastes a lot of money, and it weighs a lot. You know, I want to take all those attachments off. You don't need them.
Well, this vest, it's constrictive. You're not going to get a full breath.
No.
You know, you have to learn how to do combat breathing.
Yes.
And but these are things that veterans can show. And, you know, this is one thing that I would like to stress to people. I'm putting on a course for active shooter. I was in law enforcement for 10 years, and I was also a Marine and other things. But, you know, I have a very specific set of skills that I can teach people. One of the things probably that I never talk about that's probably the most unique and best thing that I can teach is the logistical side of how to get a community prepared. That's what I did for the government, of how to get your facility in order. Let's say it like that. You know, but I stress to any veteran, if you have the skills, you know, you should be teaching your neighbors. If you have the medical skills, teach your neighbors. If you have tactical proficiency skills, teach your neighbors. It's better they know it than they don't know it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know all the people that come and teach classes where we're at. I know John Lovell, all these. That's one of the things that they say. We teach you so you can take it to your community. You know, again, going back to the community prepper. Mm-hmm. When it hits the fan, I want to support my law enforcement. When it hits the fan, I want to support the spiritual aspects of my community, our churches, so that they can aid comfort. Because you're going to have people that are, you know, probably have suffered loss, great loss, maybe family loss. And, you know, that aspect of comforting people that have suffered that loss is going to be critical. You know, the agricultural, the water, all those assets in your community, not that they become community property. We're not living in a commune, but you set your own economy up. So that, you know, that this person's growing this food, and you set an economy up that they can barter that for things that they need and give food. That's the goal of what I'm looking forward to do. And again, radio will play a huge part in that, being able to communicate, you know, and all the different methods by which we have to do it. Doug, gosh, how long have we been going now? An hour and 10, 20 minutes?
Yeah, something like that. Look, the thing is, like, we can have these conversations every day, every week, and not cover everything.
No, I mean, I'm looking at my notes I just wrote down, and gosh, we could do another hour and a half, close this program out and do another one for another hour and a half. The intel cycle right now is so, I would say we're pregnant with information that people can glean from. All you have to do is just go online and look at how, I mean, I just did some things like, is the United States preparing for World War III? Google it. It's like, yes, we are. Is the world in a war cycle? Yes, we are. Is the world in a famine cycle? Is there massive drought? I mean, you name it. You can Google it and find the information, and then add all that information up. You know, it doesn't look pretty, but chance favors the prepared mind. And so, again, the Peak Refuel is great food. We have it in stock. We have night vision stock radios, all that. We have it in stock. And but don't, if you have questions, I know you can email Doug and he'll answer. If you have questions, you can call me or email me, and I'll gladly answer your questions for you. It's not like I'm going to charge you or make you buy something. If you want to buy stuff, I'm more than glad to sell it to you. But I really want to see you, your family get ready. You know, it is the best national security program the United States could have.
That's right.
Prepared families make a prepared nation. You know, if after, you know, there's a crisis, if half the people in that community had radio, night vision, food, water filters, and all that, you know, I mean, just think how that community is going to benefit from all that.
Well, I used to think that, like, honestly, that the Boy Scouts of America and like Eagle Scouts and all that were one of the best prepping tools that America did for kids. But now that's all gone down the wayside because of wokeism. But you need to be training your kids. You need to be training your kids. I
Take them
train my
out.
kids.
I have a friend who's a Green Beret, and he takes his kids and his grandkids and some other kids, and he takes them out in the woods, and he goes, "Okay, start a fire. Here's how you do it. Start it. You know, can you start a fire? I mean, and all these different things. What's it like to sleep out in the woods overnight? You know, what are you going to do about when mosquitoes come? You know, how are you going to?" And so they start getting. I mean, these kids are 9, 10 years old, and they're starting to get that kind of training. That's invaluable. So again, you know, I know Doug and I will help you any way we can.
Yeah, I don't sell anything except for information and freedom. So, if you have questions for me, tactical side, prepping side, spiritual side,
Well, Doug,
I'm glad to answer
you have
anything.
a patron or
Yeah,
some way.
I have a Patreon channel that I never talk about.
Okay. Well, you need
Actually,
to talk about it. People can donate to you, keep you on the air.
once a month I do a Ask Me Anything. It's a Zoom call. And I'm going to start doing it to where we're going to start bringing people, hopefully like yourself, on with a very small group of people, and you'll have private conversations. I don't ask for much. If you want to help support me, you can go to Patreon American Vindictus Show. There's also a Give Send Go. That's all on my website. But the real goal of the matter, honestly, is just to be prepared for what's happening now and for what's going to happen in the future. Because the future is going to dictate everything. The economy is going to—I swear by it—the economy is going to tank. When the
Oh, it is
economy
tanking.
tanks, everything is done with.
Yes. When oil doesn't flow, when diesel fuel runs out, you name it, or if infrastructure is attacked with an EMP or a cyber war.
I'll never forget the time I was with Gary Haven and we were in Haiti after Hurricane Matthew. And getting the reports from the NATO forces that I was working with there, because I was there as a voluntary, we'll say for voluntary status. But I was there working for Gary, and getting the reports going into the peninsula, the southern peninsula, into an area named Lakai. They had a World Health Organization and a World Food Organization, WFO. It's the first time I ever even heard of that. And because they had been out of power for, I think, like 3 weeks at that point, no food, no water, like close to cannibalism and drinking their own urine, I guess. But they actually set up ambushes for the World Health Organization trucks and the World Food Organization trucks. And they laid down trees and, you know, jumped out with whatever weapons they had, mostly, you know, cutting objects. And I think they killed one of the drivers, and then they threw one of the drivers back through the windshield of the truck. And I remember getting the reports. I actually worked with a lieutenant colonel from the Marine Corps who was there. And in that area, they had actually just taken down a helicopter that had tried to lift off from the from a NATO platform that was out there. And the people lost their mind. They went crazy. You know, they attacked everything that was being sent to them for relief. You know, so you put people in a stranded situation, and it was shaky for us, especially for Gary and his wife. God bless them for the amount of money that they spent to help save those people. We were doing rescue operations 24/7, bringing people out of there. But I mean, it was hell on earth. I felt more safe walking the streets of Fallujah, Iraq, than I did in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. And Iraq was still in a war. Haiti had only been hit by a hurricane. I mean, but no power changes everything, Bob. Everything.
No power, no energy, no meds, no food, no water.
The people were already in political strife because of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. It's that. But I'm going to have to conclude. We'll have to do this again soon. If anything comes up, I want to say I'm available. I like doing it. And I think we get some pretty good reviews on these programs. I would like to do a program, Doug, next time of how to set up a perimeter around your house. The proper way to set up a perimeter and that you can make sure that, you know, you have different layers of your perimeter and that your perimeter, your primary perimeter is not your front door. You know, that's a bad plan. When your primary perimeter is the front or back door, you've already incorporated loss into that plan.
That's right.
Let's just plan on doing that next week, doing how to set up a perimeter and the different elements that you can use to maintain and secure a perimeter.
Yeah.
You know, you have electronic, you have signals intel, you have animals. I mean, all these things you can do to help set up a perimeter fencing and so that you can safeguard your family and your supplies.
Yep. Sounds good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we got for you right now. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any comments, put them in the comment section below. For everyone listening on gsradio.net, if you have any comments, just send them over to me via email. And same thing for Bob. Bob, can you give out your phone number real quick?
Okay, it's readymaderesources.com and 800-627-3809. Again, 800-627-3809. Call if you have questions on a product or just a tactical preparing question, whatever. I'll be glad to talk to you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we got for right now. Stay vigilant and stay frosty. The enemy's out there. Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping, whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation. That is the meal that I stick with, and you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Rekker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekker5, mountainstatesurvival.com.
You can find this show on the Heroes Nation app. Heroes Nation is the Heroes Nation app you can download in the App Store.
It's up and coming. They got a lot of cool information on there. That is the main backup site so far for the American Vindictus Show. We'll also have some stuff on there that won't be on YouTube. It won't be on Rumble. It'll either be only on the GSRadio.net, who is the host of the American Vindictus Show, or it will only be an exclusive for Heroes Nation. And with that, I mean, you know, stuff that we're doing with the cave exploration, with the archaeological stuff. I'm going to start getting into a lot of paranormal talks and, you know, coming at that from my law enforcement and Christian perspective, and be having guests on, and that will be exclusive to Heroes Nation. So make sure that you give them some love. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for supporting me. God bless you, and have a good day.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.